Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Peterson, your host of Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio WFLA Orlando. I'm from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty, and to discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So, we've got a lot to talk about, and we always start with the stats, and interesting stats and interesting things that are going on out there in regards to affordability and some areas that are definitely more affordable than others. And then also some things that I've got to talk about today are cash versus financing and all the things that are entailed with that. So lots of great stuff. First of all, looking at the stats and what happened last week, there were 449 houses sold. Last week, it was 413 the week before. The median price of a single-family home is $445,000. So that's up a little bit from that. Of the properties that sold under 250, there were 42 of them. There were 30 between 250 and 300, 105 between 300 and 400, 94 between 400 and 500, 142 between 500 and a million, and over a million is 36. Now, the thing that I noticed this week, and so it's something that I'm going to have to keep my eye on, but the number between 250 and 300 is down significantly, and so just not as much inventory out there on that. The months of inventory when it comes to single-family homes were still under a normal market at 3.11, and under 250, there's 1.8 months, 2.38 between 250 and 300, 2.51 between 300 and 400, 3.2 between 400 and 500, 3.7 between 500 and a million, and 4.5 over a million. Now, looking at the final list to sale price, basically we're at 97.38% overall, under 250 at 93.93, and 250 to 300 is at 95.64. So it's kind of trending towards that under 250 as our market increases a little bit. Then between 300 and 400, we're at 98.46. Then we'd go to 98.24, 98.22. Until we get over a million, it's at 95.45. So basically the same thing in the lower end and the higher end. We're looking at a little bit less ask to list to ask ratio. The days to contract is 49 overall, and that's basically what's going on then. Then when we're looking at the condos, townhomes, and villas, we were at 146, up from 122 the week before. The price increased to 301. Now, this is the first week that we've seen it over 300,000 for the condo, townhomes, and villas. So there's a lot of things going on out there with properties selling. So it indicates that properties are going up a little bit potentially, but we'll have to keep an eye on it to see what's going on, you know, overall and everything like that. When we're looking at the numbers in regards to what price points the condos are going at, there were, of the 146, 48 under 250, 24 between 250 and 300, 44 between 300 and 400, 17 between 400 and 500, 12 between 500 and a million, and over a million was one that sold. There's only 19 in inventory, so still it's a pretty good ratio there. So 4.7, so a little bit higher inventory when it comes to the condo, townhomes, and villas. And all of them are in the fours until you get to 400 to 500. That's at 5.89. And 500 to a million is at 5.94. But all the rest of them are in the fours. When you're looking at sales to list price, at there it's overall at 97.11, pretty close to the single family homes. And everything across the board is pretty close to that, except for the million-dollar property that sold. That sold at 95.87. Now, that was listed at 1.695, and it sold at 1.625. So that's basically what's going on, and the average days sitting on the market for them are 48. So again, really similar. So when we're looking at our inventory and what's going on with with basically our market. It's very consistent. This week is the first week that I'm seeing a little uptick in prices, that it seems like they're a little bit high. The single family homes are still in our range of 440, but over 300 for the condos, townhomes, and villas. We'll have to keep an eye on it to see if that trend continues next week or if it heads back down. Like, it's been 250, 275, somewhere in that range. So maybe this is just a big week. I'm not sure, but we'll have to definitely check it out. And we're looking at the median price. So, you know, that one that sold at 1.6 definitely doesn't affect it that much, really, because it comes down to where everybody else is at and across the board. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was all cash buyers and how much less they pay than somebody that's getting a mortgage, and what sellers will do in order to take an all cash offer and everything. And basically, a new study shows that sellers would rather leave money on the table and accept an all cash sale than risk losing the sale completely because a mortgage falls through. So, you know, that just goes to cement what we've been talking about for a few weeks here, is basically that sellers are looking for certainty. And so that's what it comes down to. And so they will actually take less money for having that certainty. And what it comes down to is that on average, it could be as much as 10% less that they'll take for a cash purchase than they would for a financing purchase. So when they accept a mortgage offer, it comes with risk, such as the appraisal or the inspection or a lot of things like that that can come into play. And so sellers are just a little bit skeptical when that happens, and they would rather take an all cash offer, is basically what the bottom line it is. And this was actually checked out over the country. The study was looking at 20,000 home sales. So it's not like they just looked at a few hundred or something like that. They looked at 20,000 to see what the difference was. And basically they were from 2013 to 2021. And so at that point in time, they would look at 8% more for a financed offer than a cash offer. But today it's overall 10%. And many times they're saying that, looking at this study again, there were actually three studies that they looked at to see if this was actually true. And basically, the first one was assessing the data from 2 million home sales across more than 90% of the U.S. counties from 1980 to 2017. And from the county recorder office revealed that mortgage buyers paid on average 11% more than cash buyers. Then the second study was data which was provided on 20,000 home sales, and that was from 2013 to 2021. And that in that study, they showed that buyers with mortgages paid 8% more than all cash buyers. And then the third study was an experimental survey that was designed where they asked 3,000 independent homeowners to imagine scenarios where they had to sell their home and received two competing offers from a mortgage buyer and one from an all-cash buyer. And the response revealed that the participants would only accept the mortgage offers if they had an average of 10% more over the all-cash offers. And so basically it comes down to that. That's what people are looking for, like I was saying, is that they are looking for certainty. And so that's where our all cash offers or our cash offers program comes into play. So get cash offers on your home is basically what it is if you're interested in getting a cash offer or getting multiple cash offers on your home. And some of them are low, I'm not going to lie. And some of them actually are pretty good. They come in pretty close to market value. So it's that certainty. It's moving when you want to. It's not having to show your house and all those kinds of good things. So in order to get in touch with us, you can call or text 407-566-2555. You'll find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So, you know, in that last segment, we were really talking about cash offers and how sellers are looking for certainty. And we really have found that the tide has kind of changed a little bit in regards to what people are looking for, what they want, and everything like that. The house of the week that I had from last week, you know, we put it on the market and sold it in 2 days. And basically it came down to that, you know, just like we were talking about in the last segment, that there were two offers initially. One of them was a cash offer and the other one was a financing offer. And the seller, you know, the financing one, they were actually working on it on Monday morning. And the seller just said, hey, you know, I don't even want to wait for that financing offer. I just want to go with the cash offer right now. So that's what we did. It was cash, closed in 2 weeks. And so they were like, you know, for our situation, that makes the most sense for us and what we want to do. And we find that a lot of sellers are kind of coming from that place. And I really felt like that house needed to sell in those 2 days because it is a vacation rental home and it is rented all of the time. So when we got the call from the seller that they wanted to sell their home, there were literally 3 to 4 days that did not have anybody in that property, and it is going to be booked now through the end of the summer. So I really felt the pressure that, you know, I really needed to get it sold within those couple of days, and so we did everything that we needed to do, obviously, to make that happen. And, you know, we were able to do it and actually did get, you know, 2 offers. That other offer did come in a little bit later and they want to be a backup for sure and all of that. But, you know, I think that it just kind of goes to show what I was just talking about is that people are definitely looking for that certainty. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, I think that I've said it before, but basically when it comes to selling your house, more and more people are to the point where they don't want to show their house. They don't want to have it in show condition. They just want to peel off the Band-Aid and be done. Now, everybody's not that way, but it's getting more and more so more and more people are that way. So our platform that we have, Get Cash Offers on Your Home, is basically a site where you can go in there. You'll get offers pretty quickly within probably 5 to 10 minutes. The more information that you give, the better off that we're going to be. And the kind of information that they're looking for is like what kind of countertops, what kind of floors, when's the last time it was painted, when's the last time that the flooring was done, when's the last time that the roof was done, you know, all of those kinds of things that are important to a seller. And basically, you know, what they want to see pictures of everything as well. And when you've got pictures of the room, then that's actually going to make a difference in regards to the amount of money that you're going to get as well. So basically, you know, they want to make sure that they're not giving you some pie in the sky number. And then they come back with, after they do an inspection and try to go down quite a bit, they definitely don't want to do that either. So they want to make sure that they've got everything all lined up for you. And, you know, some of these offers that we have, out on this site, first of all, it's coming so that if you are an investor out there and you'd like to be a part of this site and that you could give offers on these homes as well, you know, all you have to do is give us a call. Let us know what your buy box is, which if you're an investor, you know what that is, in regards to what you're looking for and the area and the amount that you want to pay and all that kind of stuff. And you can be somebody that gives a cash offer on the properties too. I mean, that's great with us. We have no problem with that. So that's one thing that we definitely, you know, can and do. So we definitely have the opportunity to do that with that platform as well. So it's always a new discovery coming on week by week in regards to what can be done. You know, recently we just brought on a new investor that's awesome in regards to everything that works out on it and everything. And a lot of these investors that are buying for cash, they're reselling. And the interesting thing about the resale thing is you might think, well, gosh, these people are just going to put my property back on the market and make money. Well, they've got everything built in regards to the percentage that they're looking for, which isn't necessarily a lot. A lot of times it might be 5 or 6% that they've got built into it. And the interesting thing with many of these companies is what they're doing is that they are actually passing the, if they're wrong, saying that basically your home is worth more than what they tell you at the beginning, that extra money goes into the seller's pocket. They're not trying to pocket it themselves. They're trying to put it back in the seller's pocket to make sure that they're just being true to their percentage, whatever it is that they're trying to get. And if there's a loss, they do have a little bit of a contingency, and that it comes out of that contingency first, but then after that, it comes out of their pocket. So really, for the seller, you know upfront exactly 100% what's out there, what's available, what you're going to get. And it's actually a really good system, in my opinion. And it really tells you, you know, what you can do and all of that kind of thing. And so, but if you do want to sell your house on the market, then just like these people did this last week, they wanted to take the cash offer that came in, you know, through the normal channels. It wasn't one of our cash offer platform people, but, you know, we did it that way. And, you know, we were able to get them, you know, more money quicker and not have those percentages and everything that were in that. But if it wasn't, if it didn't sell over the weekend, then that was something that we were going to consider and that we were going to do. And there was going to be a few extra percents that they were going to have to use on that. But they ended up not having to do that. So basically, if you do want to sell your house the old-fashioned way, I'm going to say, or the way that you might be used to now, there's nothing wrong with that. And we actually have a new program coming on that I'm going to be talking about next week that is going to be a way that showcases your property that makes it stand out above every other property. And I'm very excited about this. It's something that's new. It's actually something that's on Zillow, and your property will stand out significantly more than any other property, you know, on Zillow. Well, not any other one, but most of them and everything. And it's an exclusive program. So it's only offered to a few people. And so we're one of the ones that snatched it up. So I'm excited about that. I think it'll be a great situation, you know, for all of those people out there that want to take advantage of that. And so that's another thing that's going on and everything too. So another, just changing subjects here, is that when you do move, that there, people are surprised by moving costs is basically what I read this article about this week. And basically it comes down that, you know, it, what it says in this article is that the average move costs approximately $2,000 for the moving company to help you out in doing that. And, so that's, I mean, you could, but the bottom line of what it says here in this article is it says that you have to negotiate the cost because everything's negotiable and there are discounts from preferred vendors and that kind of thing. And that's something that I learned a long time ago, that you just have to go out there and do your homework, get the bids, get the people that are going to do the best job for you at the best money. I mean, there's certain people in certain areas, certain movers, they just specialize in one area. Specifically is this one mover that I'm thinking about, and they do awesome. They're very competitively priced. They're actually kind of low priced in my opinion, but they do a great job. But you have to know about them. And so, you know, we like to be the whole package deal when we're working with people to see, you know, what your needs are and what we can do to make sure that you get everything handled the way that you need to. But in order to get in touch with us, you want to call or text 407-566-2555. You can find us online at Central Florida Real Estate Radio, and we will see you after the break. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm your host, Laura Peterson from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So one of the things that I noticed this week is that you know, everybody's always talking about affordability and everything. And what that means is that if you are getting a loan and you are out there trying to figure out, you know, what you can do in order to, you know, find a house that you can afford, because there are built-in restrictions in regards to the amount that you can pay, you know, of your income towards a home. There are restrictions in how much your overall debt can be, and that's your car payment and all of those kinds of things, in order to make sure that everything happens the way that you need it to. So basically, when we're looking at the median price of homes, now this, you know, we just talked about in the first segment that the median price of a single family home in Orlando right now is $440,000. Now, when we're looking at the prices that I'm going to be talking about now, this includes the condos, townhomes, and villas. So it doesn't just single out the single family homes. So these numbers are quite a bit less than what the actual number is in reality. So in Orlando comes in right now at $377,792 with everything altogether. So that's the condos, townhomes, villas, single family homes, all of that kind of good stuff. Tampa is at $373,235. So we're pretty close to Tampa. Miami is at $554,261. So they're quite a bit higher. And across the United States in general is $342,685. So we're just a little bit ahead of that. Some of the affordable areas that they're considering Fort Myers as an affordable area. And it's really not too much less than where we are right now. It's at $366,600. Ocala, however, is at $267,427. And I've had a few people that I've worked with that have moved from Orlando to Ocala, and they like it just because they can, you know, the prices are quite a bit cheaper over there, and then they can just hop right on the turnpike, and so they don't feel like it takes them too long to get to their jobs, even living in Ocala, so they're avoiding I-4 a lot of times and that kind of stuff. But $267,427 is what Ocala is, so that's a nice little area that you can move to. Another one that's more affordable is Winter Haven. And I've sold a lot of houses in Winter Haven as well. And that is $280,000 across the board, just $280,000. So again, if you're looking for something that's more affordable, maybe that might be an area that you want to go. So Ocala, Northwest, Winter Haven, you know, South Central, you know, kind of, I guess, and maybe a Southeast, Southwest a little bit as well. And then another area in Polk County that they're saying is affordable is Bartow, and that's at $260,000. Now, honestly, I haven't sold any houses in Bartow, but, you know, Winter Haven is $280,000, and so that's not too much farther. And then another area that they're saying is on the Gulf Coast north of Tampa is Homosassa Springs, and that's at $220,000. So that gives you some options if you don't have to be somewhere for work. That might be some areas that you would want to, you know, consider and look at and all of that kind of thing. I know I've worked with some people that you found some affordability out in, you know, the Lake County out by Leesburg or in Marion County or Sumter County. They've got some great prices out there as well. And then if you're, you know, kind of going, heading towards the East Coast, you know, if you're in DeLand or DeBary, there happens to be some pretty decent prices over there as well. Orange City, you know, that kind of thing, you might find something that works pretty well for you over in those areas. And then if you're looking over in the Southwest, Southeast areas, you know, you probably have to go to like Lake Wales, Yeehaw Junction, you know, that kind of thing, which Lake Wales is kind of straight down 27, but it does head a little bit east and that kind of thing as well. And I've sold quite a few houses down there. So basically it comes down to what you can afford, what you're looking for, how close are you willing to go. And I mean, we've got some houses under contract right now that are in the 270 range, and they're right here, you know, pretty close to that Four Corners area.
And so it just depends on really what you're looking for. And, you know, as I'm always talking about, real estate is so very local, and we need to make sure that you've got that we're looking at that local thing, you know, for you. And you might say, well, why are houses so high? And basically, it comes down to that despite the recent uptick of new construction that you see all around and all of that kind of stuff, single family home construction is still lagging behind the need, a new study just found. And the U.S. housing supply is short 7.2 million homes. And we are definitely in the middle of that here in Central Florida. And so that's why when you're looking at that gap, why prices are high, even though the interest rates are higher than they were a few years ago, they're still considered an average interest rate and everything now. But basically, you know, when you're looking at that, the Sun Belt metros grow faster is what they're saying, which is basically, you know, where we're at right now. Another trend that's coming into play, however, is the size of a home. And that basically is the number of rooms and the potential life changes that should play into that decision. So one of the things that you want to look at is how many occupants are going to be living in the home. I mean, that's a big thing that people, you know, need to know in regards to how many rooms, what you need to do there. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and they were saying that they're, you know, they're living with their parents and that kind of thing. And, you know, they need an office and their parents need an office and everything too. So, you know, when it comes to that kind of situation, how many rooms do they need for all of those things, and how are you going to make it work and all of that? A lot of people are attracted to the tiny house because you've seen it on HGTV or whatever. And then when they get into it in reality, they're like, oh, maybe a little too small. But there are, you know, you would be surprised on some floor plans how much room there actually is. And you can actually, if you go through IKEA and you go through their little square foot houses kind of things that are inside there, you can see how if you organize it correctly, you can get by with a smaller square footage. But most houses are at least 1,000 and probably more in the range of like the 1,300, 1,400, where they can feel pretty spacious, even though it might feel as spacious as a 2,000 square foot house. You might say, well, how could that possibly be? And what it is in a 2,000 square foot house, maybe they have a great room and they have a formal living room and a formal dining room and all of that kind of stuff, where you want that open concept and everything all together. So depending on the floor plan and everything that you want also depends on the type of property that you would want to purchase as well. There are people that want to have multiple sitting rooms for different generations or different things that are going on and that kind of stuff in the house. But then there's others that want to have everything all together. So it basically comes down to making sure that you've got everything that you need in order to make that decision, and then we can go to work to actually find it. So, you know, as I was talking about the stats earlier today, there are houses that sell under 250, but many of those need work. But there are some of them that we can find that will actually, you know, not need that much work too. I was actually looking for somebody, you know, this week, and they wanted to know between 250,000 and 350,000, how many single family homes there were. And I just looked totally in Orlando. I didn't look in the rest of Orange County. It was an actual address of Orlando. And there were 147 houses that were available between 250 and 350 that were single family homes. So they're definitely out there. You just have to look for them and find that diamond in the rough. And that's what we're here for. So in order to get in touch with us, you can call or text 407-566-2555. You can find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm your host, Laura Peterson from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So I'm going to talk now a little bit about home inspections. And these are the 10 most common flaws found during home inspections. And this was done in a study of more than 50,000 residences. And these are the top 10 defects. And you're going to find that they're pretty interesting. So, well, they're interesting to me anyway. The first one is that doors need adjusting and servicing. That happens in 54.9% of the inspections. 54.8% of the inspections, the faucets and shower heads need servicing, meaning that they're dripping or something like that is going on. 54.5% have exterior caulking or sealant mix, missing. So very easy fixes these things are. 53.7% have outlet or light switch problems. I think that's in almost every inspection. Well, obviously 53.7% of them. And, you know, basically the inspectors go around and they don't necessarily hit all of the light switches, but they hit most of them, if not all of them. And they put their little adapter thing in there. And I recently sold a house and that was the only thing that was wrong with the house was basically there was an outlet that was, the polarity was off. It was put in backwards. Now, the current owner had lived there for 20 years, and they had never noticed it or didn't know anything about it. But, you know, it took 2 seconds for an electrician to fix it. But it had happened when the builder had built their house 20 years ago. So, you know, those things happen. But an outlet or light switch problems is 53.7% of the time. 48%, there's no circuit breaker GFCI protection. And those things wear out, the GFCI outlets and that kind of thing. And so as a result of that, you know, that's something that's common that inspectors find as well. 45.1% have missing or defective smoke alarms. And yes, that's something that I see all the time on reports as well. Then next we have 45% of cosmetic sheetrock cracks or nail pops. And yeah, I've seen that on a lot of inspection reports as well. Then 40.5% have fixtures and or bulb problems. And I mean, that's just a simple thing in my opinion that when you're putting your house on the market and you've got a lights, you know, you've got a chandelier or you've got a light or something like that, you definitely want to have all the lights working because that's just a red flag when people are looking at it even before the inspector gets there. So it's just a simple thing to do, a simple fix. But 40.5% of the people have fixtures and or bulb problems in their inspection reports. Then we go down to 33.9 for our last two, and that's interior caulking, grout, and sealant are missing, and that happens as well. So 33.9% of the time for that. And then 33.9 electrical service panel problems. Again, a very common thing that I see on a lot of inspection reports. And as you can tell, you know, going through this list is that a lot of these things are things that are, you know, more that you don't see. I mean, the light bulbs you see, the smoke detector, you know, if you didn't put the battery in it at the time that you should have when the I've heard, and this is just kind of what I do, is that you do it every time the time changes and then you don't forget. And so every 6 months you're switching out your batteries and everything on your smoke detectors. And a lot of them are hardwired, but they have that battery backup. And so you want to make sure that that's going. But, you know, they're common maintenance things, but they're not really deal breaker kind of things. They're just common everyday things that you run into on an inspection report. And basically when you're, you know, purchasing a house and you're doing an inspection and you get that report back and you think, oh my gosh, this house is terrible. And there are houses that are terrible, don't get me wrong, but most of the houses are not. And you know, you would know up front if there was a problem with it or if there was something that should be done differently or whatever. And so it basically comes down to making sure that you do have that inspection, because maybe they're just going to find these little things that are easy fixes that aren't really a deal breaker. And maybe you'll have, maybe the seller will agree to fix them even if you do an as-is contract. And maybe some of the, you know, but you might find something else as well. And so you just never know for sure, you know, what's going to happen until that inspection is done. So we strongly recommend to all of our buyers that you definitely get an inspection so that you know what's going on, because you can't see within the walls when you're going ahead and purchasing the property and that kind of thing. So you want to make sure that you've got your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And that's one way that you can protect yourself so that you know exactly what's going on. I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and they had an inspection. It was on a condo, and they found that there was some water damage in there, and the condo association was responsible for it, but it was kind of a big deal. They the place smelled musty, and there was water intrusion that was there, and so they just wanted to make sure that that was resolved. And then there were a few electrical problems that were noted, you know, on there as well, and they didn't know if they were a big problem or a little problem. And that's a lot of times what happens. And so, you know, when you talk to the inspector, I mean, they can tell you, you can obviously get quotes after the inspection is done to make sure that you know that you're getting the best deal, that you're getting what you're walking into. Is it, you know, a $50 job to switch or a $100 job to switch, or is it a $1,000 job? And that might make the difference in regards to whether or not, you know, you want to continue with the deal, or if it's something that you can negotiate out. And I think that once the seller's aware of it, most of them are like, hey, you know, I didn't realize this. It's not the way that I sell my property, and I want to make sure that everything's all up to snuff and everything the way that everybody would want it. And so it's really important that you do that stuff. So I'm going to talk about a house of the week right now, and this is another one in a short-term rental community. And the thing that's interesting about this house is that it is really a going concern, is basically what it is. It's a house, and then it's also got an in-law suite, and basically that is a standalone property and everything on this property. And it's listed at $699, and the income that comes in on that property in 2023 was over $68,000. And it's going to be over that in 2024 with what they've got on the books and everything like that. So it's looking at about a 10% return, which is a great return on a short-term rental. These people know how to do it. They've got their whole philosophy and their business plan and everything all lined out for the new, buyer, the new owner of the property. They bought it without any bookings in it at all in 2022. And in 2023, like I said, they were over 68,000 in bookings, you know, for that year. So it's pretty close to a 10% return, you know, on your money with those bookings. And so it's a great situation. If that's something that you want, just give us a call, because it's turnkey. Everything's ready to go. The bookings would come in place, and they get great bookings for it. And the people like it. It's got good 5-star reviews about it. So it's just going to keep going from there. So in order to get in touch with us, all you have to do is call 407-566-2555. You can find us online at Central Florida Real Estate Radio.com. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.